Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My pleasure to be joined tonight by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Melinda.
Thank you very much, Michael. And I understand we're going to talk a little bit about sort of Teresa Kapenda being here from Zambia, the coordinator of our African Vulnerable Children Project in Zambia, in Kentalomba. And I have to tell you, I realize there's an expression that we use a lot, I think, in this practice, which is it was more fun than a human being could have, or it's as much fun as a human being could have. And I realize that's my experience of being able to be with Teresa as she sees things she's never before seen in her life, like an ocean and boats on the ocean and sea otters. And it's just, we actually had some time at Point Lobos today, and it was just one big wow after another. She was just, of course, Teresa is always lit up, but she was even more lit up than usual. Seems to me, walking around Point Lobos and driving down the California coast and down Highway 1 to Esalen, to that area where it's so extraordinarily beautiful. And just wow, 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 wow.
Yes, wow, indeed. And it's fun for me. I was talking with Jen, the monk, earlier today. And up until a few weeks ago, my experience with Teresa was strong in some sense, and it was all via computer. It was via this computer screen and audio that I'd heard and video that I had seen and blogs that I had read, and that's wonderful. And it's a different experience to be here with Teresa in person and really to see her up close, and I project onto her kind of a representation of the Africa Project as a whole and all of the willingness and all of the goodness that's coming out of that. And it's really, for me, it's been really wonderful to be in her presence and to see, you know, as in this practice, always to come back and to look inward and to see what's going on with me about that. And it's fun for me, as I'm talking, to see what I project onto her and what I project onto the program. And it's fun when you're projecting goodness and wonder and amazement, and to follow those projections back home is fun. And which, of course, is not to say that they're not true. And it's fun to have a richer, more detailed, more varied experience with Teresa and to have her here in person. And it reminds me of an image that came to me before of the connection between the group of people here and the group of people in Africa. And I knew there was a strong connection. I always picture it on a map. And it was, before it seemed like a narrow line, like a strong line and a narrow line. And now I picture it as kind of a wider line and strong. And as those relationships deepen, I see more possibility for all of us, for the project there, for what we can do here and how we can all grow.
Yeah, as you were saying that, Michael, I was seeing that broadband kind of fits right there. and as you were saying that, I was realizing, first of all, that there is really an experience of Teresa being present and in all of the senses of that word, and having an opportunity to see her. And I think people will probably experience this on the internet show that we're going to have Friday night with Teresa. But her moving from situation to situation with really great ease, from the socializing, we had a wonderful event in Felton near Santa Cruz at the Namaste Yoga and Retreat Center, and there was mingling beforehand, you know, that kind of socializing, and then there was a PowerPoint presentation of the work in Africa. And Teresa just moved so fluidly from one kind of situation to another. It's kind of remarkable when you consider that the woman had never been out of Zambia before, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. And it's really quite awesome. an overworked word, but one that's so appropriate that I have to use it.
Yes, and so the opportunity to see Teresa live is coming up. And so I wanted to mention that opportunity will be this Friday. We'll be broadcasting live over the internet through an application called Ustream. There's a website, ustream.tv, and the details of that are in everybody's email inbox. I know at least one email has gone out with those details, so please check your inbox for those details. If you don't have them, if you have questions, please send an email to information@livingcompassion.org, and we can help with all that.
And then there are two other opportunities in addition to the Friday night, which is going to be tomorrow night in San Francisco, an event at on the Presidio. Michael will have the details. And then Saturday, as you all undoubtedly know, the Bridge Walk, and Teresa will be there, and also Jackie Esombe, who is this most extraordinary African dancer from originally Cameroon and more recently Canada, who comes and just brings the most, just extraordinary energy and dance and sort of aliveness. And it's just going to be one sort of highly charged bridge walk, I think, with all of the energy coming into it. I'm just very excited and looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it also. And as Melinda mentioned, Teresa and Sherry will be in San Francisco tomorrow night, Wednesday, from 6:30 to 8. They'll be in the Presidio at a place called the Thoreau Center Art Gallery. Details of that are also on the web. So that's to summarize, Wednesday, tomorrow night in San Francisco, Friday in Palo Alto. You can be here in person or you can be here over the internet on ustream.tv. Saturday will be the Bridge Walk. And it's interesting, you were talking about the energy buildup, I project, from all these events. And I've been noticing the self-hate buildup kind of in response, kind of a feeling bad, something's not right. And I'm just reminded of practice and Sherry saying, you know, there's no later on that I'm waiting for until I'm going to feel good. So why not now? You know, why am I feeling bad? What right does self-hate have to talk to me about feeling bad?
A really extraordinary practice that invites the kind of energy that's happening this week and that the Africa Vulnerable Children Project open us to. It's really always so much gratitude to be in this practice and to have it be in the world.
Yeah, it is. It's truly a blessing and a privilege. And to have the knowledge and experience, to have some sense of what's going on with me in a way that's understandable, in a way that I don't have to take that on, say, kind of sidestep that. Sherry talks about that Teflon coating and just, okay, we're going to let that one slide off. Yeah. Melinda, thanks so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure and a privilege, as usual. And it's an exciting week.
Thank you so much, Michael. I really enjoy being here, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the show.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you, Melinda. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. I too am feeling the excitement.
Great. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. In fact, I was thinking when you and Melinda were talking about Teresa and how she is being here, which is remarkable to me, and largely because I realize how much easier she seems to be being here than I generally am in her country.
That's fascinating.
And you know, just yeah, I I wouldn't have thought about that until the conversation that you two had. But there's just a, I realize there's a kind of a self-consciousness that I often find myself in. You know, I don't really know. I don't know how things work, and I don't know kind of what people are, you know, expecting or that sort of thing. If Teresa has that with us, she's certainly doing a good job of not acting out of it. And so I realized that I'm going to look at that as a part of my practice. Where does that come from? Because I think it's an awkwardness that doesn't serve any useful purpose, as so many self-conscious awkwardnesses don't.
Yeah, I can only project for myself, Teresa, coming over here and having that kind of attention and focus and people wanting to talk to her and ask her questions and all that.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. She's a star.
She's a star.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll miss her next week.
I know. That it's just going to be very, very strange to return to a life where she's not. So I guess we'll just have to go visit her next time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll all go there.
Yes. Wonderful. Sherry, we have several callers lined up here.
All right. Let's talk to them.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Virginia.
Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. I expected to be waiting in line for a moment, so I'm excited to talk to you. It's really wonderful to hear your voice, Sherry.
Great, and good to hear yours, and so you didn't have time to prepare anything.
Well, I had something on my mind, but I have to tell you, when I was hearing Melissa talk, or Melinda, well, I'm a little stressed right now, but when I was listening to Melinda give the good news update, you know, it was really touching to hear how Teresa, you know, was at Point Lobos and seeing the ocean and all that, and it's very touching, and just makes me realize how much I've been given in my life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And kind of how much we take for granted?
How much I take for granted, right, how much I cry over every little, you know, and I mean cry in quotation marks, how much I self-pity over every little thing and, you know, make big deals out of nothing and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, and if we can, the thing that's most helpful for me about all of this, if we can realize that without any self-hatred.
Yeah, without any self-hatred, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, if we can just see that really the opportunity for us is to just say thank you pretty much nonstop, instead of wasting time and energy on the kind of silliness that an awful lot of us waste life force on. Because we are so fortunate, because we are so lucky. We have so much, so many of us have so much that it's easy for us to, well, I go back to Phil, Sister Phil, you know, talking about you get on an airplane and 5 hours later, 5.5 hours later, you're on the other coast of the country.
Yeah.
And people are griping that the plane is 15 minutes late.
I've heard you mention that. It's a great reminder. Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, I just go to that place of, wow, how spoiled we can get.
Right. It's almost like I have the free time to, you know, study my belly button.
Right. We have the luxury to complain.
Yeah, to complain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, without self-hate, just to every time we hear those voices start up, just say, no thanks. I really don't think I want to give my life force to that.
Yes. I really don't want to give my life force to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Sherry, so now can I tell you some content?
Yes, please. Let's get down to what's really going on.
And the reason I want to tell you the content is because it's representative of a bigger picture.
Uh-huh.
But this content is particularly charged for me. Oh, man, and actually, this just what you just Well, two things have happened recently in my life, but one of them very quickly is that this coming weekend my mother turns 90 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and what's really amazing is my mom is nearly perfectly healthy and has the same mental acuity that she's always had. I mean, she's in great shape, actually.
That's inspiring.
It's really, really, really inspiring. And I think what keeps her so she's very interested in life. And she has my father passed away a few years ago, but she has created a social life for herself. And we have a lot of family where she lives and stuff. But, you know, she has this attitude of every time she gets an invitation to a family affair, I mean, she drives herself there, but she always goes. And her attitude is like, well, if you stop going, they stop inviting you.
Yeah.
So, anyway, she is inspirational. And,
Before you go on to the next one, that's it. We can apply that attitude of mind to practice as well. You know, if you stop participating,
if
the options stop being available.
Oh.
You know?
The options.
When people stop participating, life starts getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. The more we participate, the more we show up, just as your mother is exemplifying, the more we show up, the more is available to us.
Yeah, the more we show up, the more is available. Yeah. And because it takes the lock, the chains that are, when I don't show up, it's like I'm tied, these chains have bound me up.
Yeah.
And I don't realize it, of course, but in the, yeah.
Well, and pretty soon, our relationships are with the voices in our heads instead of, with the rest of life. And that also tends to make things very small.
Yeah, it really does. And then it kind of gets to the place where I'm at a little bit right now. It's like, what's the story and what's really true, you know? Because the story starts becoming believable.
Yeah, which is not, I'm not, you know, arguing for just constantly being social. It's not that, because, of course, being alone, being in silence, being in solitude is a great aid to practice. But both of those things, being engaged with life, being a participant, being by oneself in solitude, in silence, neither of those is being in relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning. Both of those pointing at choosing something other than egocentric karmic conditioning.
Yeah.
Are you there?
I'm here. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so section two of that.
Okay, so part two is this, Sherry. And I guess the immediate answer I kind of have right now after just a moment here speaking with you, but a process that I do, okay, I actually was just visiting my mom in the middle of September, and while I was there, I have four siblings, and one of them, my brother, he kind of goes his own way. My brother decided to have a celebration for my mom on the 4th of October, this coming weekend, and he didn't really, like, talk with any of his sisters. The rest of us are the sisters, and he didn't really, like, mention it to us until kind of, I didn't find out until I was about to leave. She lives in the Midwest. And, I felt like I needed to go back for the party, but there's an event happening on Sunday. There's a little ice cream party happening on Sunday in which all my family will be at. And then there's a process that I do, which is like I'm gonna go, and then I'm not gonna go for a lot. You know, I'm gonna go for this reason, but then there's all these reasons why I don't want to go. And then what happens is I go into this turmoil, I don't know what you call it, just this round and round and round thing. And that is like really typical of how I make any decision, or even when something new comes at me, it's like, yeah, it's real tied up in knots. And then what often happens in the end is I don't do it simply because there's so much turmoil. I just like want to stop the turmoil by not participating, I guess.
And so stopping the turmoil turns into not doing rather than doing.
Right. It's usually well then yeah. Mm-hmm. That's usually
you get so worn out by this back and forth process that you just I'm not doing it.
Right. It'd just be easier if I didn't do it, and then I could kind of keep life under control, normal. You know, wouldn't have to do anything out of the ordinary.
So let me ask you this: you spend a fair amount of time around me. Do you know my decision making processes? Can you recall any of those? Flip a coin.
Yeah.
Flip a coin. So this time, heads, I'll do it. Tails, I won't. Next time, tails, I'll do it. Heads, I won't. Okay? So that you keep track of the decisions.
Yes.
Okay. And so anytime a decision comes up that starts you down the turmoil path, you just look at your list and say, oh, okay, well, last time the coin flip was this, so this time it'll be this. And you do it.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, and I'm telling you, if you want to know what hell is like, that's what's going to happen the first time you do this.
Well, yeah, I can see that, because in this particular decision, it feels like the content is really loaded because it has to do with my family and my mother, whom I love very much. Yeah, it just seems like loaded content, but
and it doesn't matter because it's not about the content. If it were about the content, then you would just do whatever. In other words, if you looked at it and you said, you know, this would really mean a lot to my mother for me to be there. I love my mother. I'm going. Or if you looked at it and said, you know, my mother is a really practical woman. I was just there 2 weeks ago. She's not going to want me to fly across the country to eat ice cream with her.
Yeah.
She's had 90 birthdays. She doesn't care.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll call her. I'll talk to her, tell her how much I love her and how great the visit was, and she'll be happy, and you don't go.
Right. You're right. It could go either way. Yeah, exactly. But what you're saying is it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, except in one case, you're in prison, and in the other, you're free, and that matters a lot.
Yeah. Okay, Sherry. I don't know what to say. It's very scary what you're suggesting, but I see that the only way to do the only way out is to do is to really come head to head with this, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. And the only thing that's scared in this is ego. Now, I get it because people have been talking to me a lot about this lately. I can get very kind of casual sounding about a relationship with those voices because I've been doing this for so long that they don't scare me. They don't scare me. But I understand it's scary for people who haven't been doing this for that long to say to those voices, no, I'm not doing what you tell me. I'm not listening to you. You have no more relationship to my life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People get terrified over that idea.
Do you think the terrify is about saying no to the voices, or because once I make a decision, I mean, conditioning will come back either way and try and drag me down. It's the wrong
thing. I think, honest to Pete, I think the fear is ego.
The fear is ego going to die.
Yep.
It's afraid it's going to die.
That's right. And when it roars up because we are trained to believe that we are it and it is us, when it roars up in that, oh my God, kind of way, we think it's us. We think we're in danger. We think it's real. And we get scared and tend to go back into relationship with it. So that's, you know, it's getting past that. It's proving to yourself that no matter how much it screams and yells and how terrifying it feels, there's that steady, calm place in you that is unaffected by it, knows that all of its shenanigans are not true or real, and is rooting for you to get to the other side of this. And increasingly, as you do this, as you practice in this way, you will begin to realize that calm, steady place is who you really are. And you will find increasing ease in choosing that over the hysteria of ego. But that's what the process is that folks are going through.
In coming to see that I'm not it.
Yep.
And that I can refuse to let it throw me into turmoil or control my life.
That's right. That's right. So that's that place where I don't know what book it's in, but where I talk about sitting on your cushion and buckling your seatbelt. Because, you know, because it's just staying there, just breathing and breathing and breathing until you get to the other side. And poof, you win, it loses. And you don't have to do that very many times before you begin to feel the power that you really have over it, against it.
Okay, Sherry.
All right.
I will really let you know, because as you speak, I'm aware of other content situations that I have to make decisions on. It's the same thing.
And actually, the truth of the matter is, we never have to make a decision.
Life
makes all the decisions if we just let it.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean by that? Because you will go or not. That's the reality. You will either go to the Midwest or not. And the only thing that ego is contributing is all that agonizing.
Yeah, my gosh. Yeah, you're right.
You could just practice walking around breathing, knowing that at a certain point, it'll be clear to you, either you're going or you're not. It'll just be clear to you. But we have to practice a lot to get to that place of trusting that that'll be the case.
Yeah.
But it's always the case. It's always the case.
That life will decide for me.
Yep.
Sherry, I know I'm only going to keep you one more minute here, but then this is probably the topic for another conversation. But you and I had a conversation earlier this year about Virginia leaving where she lives to live somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that this is another big decision that's been put on hold because of turmoil and indecision. Is that another coin-flipping decision?
It absolutely is, because this is what you've got to prove to yourself. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what you do. It only matters how you are in relationship with Virginia. That's it. And the only way, truly, to be in relationship with her instead of with those voices is constantly to choose her. And what that looks like is, it doesn't matter. If you don't want to live here, we won't live here. If you want to go to wherever, we'll go to wherever. If you don't want to do this job, we'll find another job. If you don't, okay? And it's Virginia you're talking to. It's the one who endures that back and forth of egocentric karmic conditioning. Okay, so she arises and says, you know, and this is not a, I don't like this job. That's not what I'm talking about. It's a deep, you know, for many people, it's an overtime sense of, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. Okay, and then we get talked out of it.
Right.
Okay.
And by the way, I mean, it's almost like ego uses practice against me, because it's almost like it's saying, well, that's not really you. That's just a story. You're just making up a story. Get with it, you know, kind of.
That's right. And the clue, the big clue there is that that voice is calling you you.
Okay. Gosh, I never thought of that. Yeah, I never really thought of that. Because every time I consider a big decision, it's always like, well, are you sure that's you or are you sure that's conditioned mind? But it's a you. It's,
that's right.
It's saying you.
There's your clue. There's your clue.
Oh, my God. I never realized.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it?
It seemed really real. I mean, it seemed like, yeah, it's true. I always listen to conditioned mind. This is conditioned. I mean, I'm making up a story. It was just like, holy cow. Okay, Sherry, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right, talk to you soon.
Yes, I'll report back. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, Michael, before we go on, is the sound quality of this call okay?
Yes, it sounds fine to me.
Okay, good.
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, great. We're going to have a sponsor break here, Sherry, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Hi, folks. This is Teresa Kapindo from Zambia. I'm here in the United States of America, particularly California. Please join me on your computers on Friday, October the 2nd, 5:30 Pacific Time. Know more about Cantalumba and the project going on there in Zambia. And anyone near San Francisco can join us the next day for the bridge walk. Really come and join me. I want to see you shake your hands, and probably a hug or two would do. Thank you so much. Bye.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have several more callers here.
I just want to say, though, that public service announcement, stop, drop, and breathe, could only be matched by one with Teresa inviting us to participate. Is that great or what?
That is great.
Yeah.
That is great.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's a good combination.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carolyn from Boise.
Hi,
and,
Carolyn.
That was great, actually. I really enjoyed that. It's pretty wonderful to hear Teresa's voice, too.
Wasn't that fun?
That really was.
Uh-huh. All right, what's going on in Boise?
Well, it's been an interesting couple of weeks for me. A couple of weeks ago, I was involved in this situation where I got really mad at some friends, and I've been trying to process through that differently than I guess I always have and always do, and I think it's a little time to just check with you, see if I'm on the right path, maybe get some guidance on it.
Right. What have you been up to? You said you're trying this in a new way. I was wondering what that new is.
I guess the old way is to just keep going over and over how angry I am and, you know, why I'm right and why can't I convince anybody else I'm right, and then kind of beating myself up for being angry and that sort of thing. So what happened was right away, actually, real soon, I realized that it wasn't the actual events that had made me angry, but it was this feeling of not being heard. And I hit that pretty quick, but then it took like several days to figure out that, oh, we're talking about content and process here, and try and put the content aside and look at the process. And honestly, I wasn't even sure what process meant, but I knew that the feelings were feelings that I've had lots and lots in other situations. And so that was what I needed.
Can I just stop you right there? And just ask you, please, to take a moment to acknowledge the amount of work that you've done that enabled you to do that. That's huge. It is so huge to be able to stop and say, okay, this story isn't it. You know, I'm not sure what the process is, which is very tricky to catch on to. But I know I've been here often. I recognize these feelings. That is such good work. So just, you know, reminder of that, and then we'll go on.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. And so I guess I had spent the next few days figuring out what the feelings were, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly this thing that comes up over and over again of feeling like I had been ignored. And, you know, I had been ignored in this particular situation. And it really was pronounced this time because there was actually some danger involved in the situation. So it was an intense experience. And I knew I hadn't been heard. And I wasn't sure how to, you know, approach my friends on it. Or what to do with, or whether I even should. So I guess, you know, days went by. I guess the next thing I hit was, well, you know, they would probably agree with me on the events. I mean, nobody would argue about what happened, but they totally wouldn't get my experience of it. They had a different experience of it, and I was just laying the story on top of it, the events that happened, and the story was that you didn't listen to me, and that's how we ended up here. And it was really shocking for me to think that, you know, my experience of it was certainly real to me, but it was different from what their experience of it was going to be. And you know, I could certainly never, they can't experience what I did, and I can kind of project what their experience of it was, but it's not going to be the same. And so I can't convince them.
Isn't that an incredibly helpful realization?
You know, it floored me.
Yeah. Oh.
Honestly.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it totally floored me that I was, the idea that I was, the events everybody would agree on, but it was layered over with some story, and it's a story I've been telling myself for pretty much my whole life. And, you know, there's some reasons, but it's not anybody else's experience. It's just mine. And
yeah,
and
exactly.
I guess I've never understood, when I get really angry, you know, feel this rage, you know, my response is to try and not vent it forcefully on other people and, you know, to just try and live it out, but I've never understood where it came from. And I think it comes from, well, I think it comes partly from really feeling like I'm not being heard, but it also comes from, it feels like a little, really frustrated little girl, like
yeah.
somebody whose older sibling, you know how they, you can, you know, straight arm, like a football player, straight arm somebody and put your hand against their forehead, and if they're smaller, they can swing and swing and swing, and you'll never, it feels like that little girl swinging and swinging. And I think it's this frustration from wanting to convince others of the rightness of my experience and never really getting that they don't get it because it wasn't their experience.
Exactly. So you have just taken a giant step toward understanding karma. Okay? So we have eight people standing around witnessing an event. Okay? And, of course, psychologists would tell us that it wouldn't actually be this clean, but let's say it could be. And let's say, by the clean I mean, let's say they all agree that this event happened. Yes, that person did that, and then that, and then that followed that. And yeah, we all saw that. They're going to have eight probably completely different takes on who's right, who's wrong, why it happened, what it means, what should happen as a result of it, how people should react, how they should feel, okay? Because each person is taking that event in through their karmic filters. So their projections are actually creating the event. Okay?
Yeah.
Then it comes in, and as you say, who receives it? Well, if it's a frustrated little girl who felt like she was never really seen or heard, and her experience didn't matter to anybody, well, we can see how she would go right back to childhood. She would interpret everything that was going on through her life experience as a little child who's frustrated by her life situation. Okay? Everybody else is doing the same process with whatever their filters are. And then let's take this out and make it bigger. Then people are going to start talking about what happened, and that's where wars start.
Yeah. I feel like I'm kind of, you know, I have said something to him and at the time, and it was kind of angry, and they looked kind of surprised, and sort of over the last couple of weeks have decided that, well, their friendship's more important to me than convincing them that I'm right, but that also feels like it's really just trying to dodge an uncomfortable situation.
But here's the deal. Here's to me the real bottom line of this. There's a little girl that is not being heard, and the person she needs to be heard by is you. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, says, or does.
That's the piece that I've been missing. You know, it's like, okay, she's frustrated, but I can't fix it for her.
Yes. Well, what you can do is mentor her. You can help her learn to feel her feelings, have whatever feelings she feels, have them in a way that doesn't hurt her or anybody else. Okay? You can talk with her. You can listen to her. And most of all, you can explain to her exactly what you have realized in this experience. You can help her to understand what she could never know as a little child, that everybody is looking at life from their own unique perspective. And the fact that they can't have her experience doesn't mean they don't love her. It just means nobody can have anybody else's experience. So in the same way they can't have her experience, she can't have their experience. So she actually, and this is, again, one of those, we got to do this without self-hatred. She cannot be any more sensitive to other people than other people are to her. The best we can get to is something along the lines of, I get it that this is really big for you.
Yeah.
You with me? So if you and I say we're in a conversation about this, which we are, the best I can do, the best I can do is say, yeah, I hear this is loaded. This is big. I get it that this is really upsetting to you. But telling me the story over and over and over, which is what we try to do, to try to get me to have your experience, it's just never going to happen. I could love you more than anything on the planet. And it still, I couldn't get to anywhere other than, wow, this is big for you.
Yeah. I guess it's hard for me to accept that there's nothing to do. That,
well,
you know.
Here's the thing. Here's the secret. Here's the practice secret. Okay? And this is the one that will make a believer out of you eventually. Is when you begin to realize that you cannot understand anyone else. That you can think you do. If we say in general enough terms, we can sort of fake it. But when it comes right down to it, you also cannot actually go to somebody else's experience. And I think go ahead.
Well, is she just going to keep being hurt and frustrated over and over again?
No, because she's going to have a relationship with you. She's not going to be looking to other people who cannot understand her. You can understand her. You actually can feel her feelings. You see the world. You can see the world through her perspective. Now, she's not the only part of you. So the danger is, unless you're at center, you will be insensitive to her as well.
Wow.
Can you picture it? As we're growing up, you know, we leave parts of ourselves in order to fit in, get our needs met, be acceptable to others. And so we can be the primary point of insensitivity to ourselves. And then that person whose needs are not being met gets louder and louder and louder and starts trying to interact with other people, and it goes downhill from there, as you noticed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if she has you, if you will listen to her and talk to her and be in relationship with her, first of all, she will very quickly lose interest in what other people are saying or thinking or doing. And she will help you to stay at center so that you can be there to mentor her. You will very quickly lose interest in what other people are thinking and saying and doing. Because we just, before long, get to that place of realization that nobody will ever really understand how we feel. Even if you and I shared an experience, you know, we both went to this school and we were of the same class whatever it is, we didn't have the same experience because what we brought to that is our own unique karma.
Yeah. I guess the next thing for me to work on is how to, I guess, sharpen my listening skills with her. I mean, I think that I've said, oh, yeah, there's this frustrated little girl, and I'm so sorry, honey, I'm so sorry. You know, I know you're frustrated,
yeah.
but that doesn't seem to be what she needs to hear.
No, So now you're going to look for these situations. Instead of trying to avoid them, you'll be looking for them. And when she comes up in the way that you did in this situation, okay, there's the story. Great. Let's go to the process. All right. And so I like the dominant, non-dominant handwriting. Okay. So you know she's there. You get your dominant hand and you say, okay, tell me about it. Tell me what you're feeling. Then give
that's
her
a really good idea. Yeah, that's a great idea. So that would be a way to have a conversation with her. Yeah.
Exactly.
I like that idea.
Yep. And and make it a priority. She's the one who's kind of up now for you to practice this different relationship with, so make it a regular thing. You know, find out what she wants to call herself. Don't name her. Ask her what you should call her. And then invite her to come. You know, take your pen and say whatever her name is, I'd like to talk with you again. And just as you would with any real child, you know, what do you like to do? What are you interested in? What goes on with you? How can I help you? What do you need? What do you want? What would you like me to help you with? So that.
Wow, that sounds like a really big, hard, busy place to go. It's a great idea.
And I think you'll find that it is so much fun, you're not going to believe it. Because she is a great, spunky kid with a lot of energy. All of that energy is going to become available to her and to you when it's no longer locked in this frustrated place, when it's allowed to actually start moving.
Yeah, I really like that. I'm going to get the crayons out. I really like that
idea.
There you
go.
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
Keep us posted.
Thank you. I will.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Carolyn. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Taking care of everyone within.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I like so much about that kind of conversation that we just had is that we're all in that same place. You know, we all have parts of ourselves that have gotten left behind and that we're trying to get their needs met through all kinds of other situations and people, and it's just so much more direct. It's actually easier and way more fun to get to know these folks for ourselves and take care of them directly and then have all of their energy available for us to enjoy our life. So I'm glad that conversation could happen.
Me too. It's a great recipe for success, sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we're going to have a sponsor break here and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porch Dog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porch Dog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, what if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have four more callers in the queue here, and we have about 13 minutes.
Well, we'll do our best.
We'll do our best. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, I'm so happy I got on. I called so early, and I kept thinking, wow, it's like this like time game, you know, like, okay, we can only call in quarter till. It's exactly quarter till. Go! And, yeah, there was all that, like, oh, shoot, it might not even happen. So I'm so happy and surprised. And, yeah, it's, yeah, the other, you know, Karen Teresa's voice and the other callers. And, yeah, I just feel my, yeah, my heart's just a little jumpy and happy. So.
Well, good. Well, what's
yeah,
going
and,
on?
Well, what's going on? And it, there's, I can, I, some of the things that the other callers were mentioning were kind of some things that are going on with me. One, there's kind of some stuff just around not really appreciating what I have until it's no longer here and then really missing it. And another is, you know, kind of taking care of those little parts. And then once you take care of those little parts, kind of what's available. And the tie in the content piece, I had a relationship end a couple of months ago, and it ended, the whole content piece was the guy that I was involved with was in a relationship with another woman, and it kind of went on without me knowing about it, so it wasn't real upfront, and it just really hurt, and kind of I had guidance about, you know, staying with the hurt person and the surprised person and the, you know, the person that's felt deceived, and so that just felt like it was a, you know, pretty big, it was just like, you know, took a, it just was a really wonderful thing to do, and so it feels like that activity or being that kind of activated in that way is not as present, and what I'm finding is, you know, I have run into him and seen him a couple times, and what's left is, right now, just that place of, like, remembering, you know, what, like, that's just that really heart tenderness that was shared. And, you know, it feels like, you know, when all of that, you know, the parts that were just struggling so much aren't there, there is such a softness that still remains. And then there goes, then this is where I slide, where I don't know if I slide into conditioning or my heart. And then it kind of goes into the place of, okay, you know, is this something that, you know, knowing you have to work, you know, there's going to be something to work with any relationship. If there's willingness, is this something to work with, or is this just something you can't work with? And then I try not to go there and just see what shows up. And and so that's what I'm calling about, like differentiating. And I remember guidance from you, Sherry, one time saying just be out of the conversation. And so out of really any conversation and just showing up and being in the same place, there is just a real sweetness. And then, you know, I don't have any action with that. And then, yeah, there's just, kind of
okay.
This.
Okay. Can I ask you about it?
Yeah.
What is it, if you were to, you know, to kind of narrow it down,
yep.
What is it about him? What does his way of being represent to you? If you were going to describe the sweetness, the softness, the tenderness, what evokes that?
What evokes that? His attention is usually like his attitude is like it's just so rare for me to find people whose attitude is on what they appreciate and beauty and, you know, kind of just, you know, sharing in the day in terms of, you know, more of, yeah, just a place of gratitude and just willingness to show up and, you know, kind of just always just incredible willingness and a place of just a spaciousness, like in terms of this, does that kind of answer the question?
It does. It does.
Okay.
Because what I was looking for in that question was, what are you projecting onto him? What qualities did you give to him that you are perhaps still giving to him that you're not owning for yourself?
Oh, I never looked at it that way. Yeah, I would just say that projection of, just gratitude and appreciation and willingness and kind of just...
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is you would like to be involved with someone who demonstrates, lives from a place of gratitude and willingness and appreciation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which doesn't necessarily mean him.
That's true.
And do you see without me, you know, I'm not talking about people here, okay?
Right.
Because the thing that you also know, the big quality, a couple of the big qualities that you also know is that he lies,
yeah.
He deceives, he cheats, and he's good enough at it that he managed that for, it sounds like, a fair amount of time.
Yeah, it was a couple months.
That this was going on and you didn't know it.
And I didn't know it, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, did he then finally confess or did you find out?
I found out.
Yeah. So when you look at this, to me, it would be, in terms of your awareness practice, it would be really important for you to explore separating the qualities from the person.
Okay. Like the qualities that I really want to be reflected back.
Yes. And also, you see, I've known a number of folks who would like to write off an entire gender based on an experience like that.
Right.
Say, you know, you just can't trust women. Right. You just can't trust men. Well, that's not true either.
Right.
So we don't want to extrapolate here and say, so what this means is, because it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that you are gullible. It doesn't mean that you're a bad judge of character. It also doesn't mean that you would never be fooled again. It doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and I kind of get that one process doesn't lead to another. Like, just because this happened this time and I've, you know, learned X, Y, and Z doesn't mean really anything.
That's right. There's no application for this.
Yeah.
And I think it would be really helpful to sort it out in terms of qualities.
Qualities.
So the fact
that
you bought a new car and the people fleeced you doesn't mean you should never buy another car.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that what you want to do is be able to be open-hearted and trusting, and you want to live in a place of gratitude and appreciation and willingness, And that doesn't mean you're never going to be hurt again.
Right. Yeah, and the qualities that a person presents, like say within awareness practice, that you know, kind of seeing, you know, what leads towards the heart and what leads towards softening, like it just felt to me like it just came from such a young conditioned place, and so it kind of felt like, you know, with you know, awareness and being able to take care of whatever, you know, took over this relationship, then there's something to work with. But outside of that, there's nothing to work with. So, like, when do you say, I don't know, I guess even just for myself, like, when you see kind of like what we were talking about with the last caller, you know, really being able to take care of the one that made these choices or that, you know, needs X, Y, or Z, then that's not the one in the relationship.
Right, because what you, the person you want to be in your next relationship with whomever is the centered you.
Is the centered me, that's what I just need to project out.
Yeah, because the centered part of us knows life doesn't come with a guarantee. The things that we've been taught are probably not true.
Yeah.
And so from center, we know that. It's, you know, my teacher saying that the thing that you can trust is that people will be who they are.
Yeah.
Life is not personal. You know, people don't tend to do things because they're, for reasons that we would assign.
Yeah.
And back to the previous caller. You know, we don't tend to know, be able to, well, we don't tend to, we're unable actually to know what's going on with another person. So when we start interpreting other people through our egocentric karmic conditioning, it's a very dangerous place to go. It's illuminating for us to be able to see what we're projecting onto someone else. But it doesn't necessarily give us anything about them.
That's a really good point. I hadn't looked at it in that way because I think there's part of me that's projecting like, oh, my gosh, like when I see things and I can really take care of them, there is this transformation that happens. There is change that happens. And so I'm projecting onto him like, well, if he would just see what it is that he does, then he could, you know, get himself out of this and it would never happen again. You know, so I can see how I fall into that pattern. So that's kind of conditioning.
Yes, and it's young, right? It's kind of magical thinking.
It's magical thinking, yeah.
Yeah. Well, then if this, then that, and then we would live happily ever after. And that's not somebody you want to be in charge of your life decisions.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So the guidance kind of at this point is just to kind of keep taking care of the one that's still, you know, just, I guess, you know, grieving or sad or
of
it.
And to add in that one who says, okay, well, now that I've done all of this, now I can have him.
Okay. Yeah, I forget to add that one in. Okay, good.
Which you know, I'm not saying it's not going to go that way. I'm just saying that's another person who needs to be mentored.
Needs to be mentored. Okay. Or is that, it almost sounds like, it almost sounds like it kind of is the mentor because if the person that I'm wanting to attract is coming from that yes and, you know, appreciation and gratitude, then it's almost like, the mentor kind of is the one that needs to show up. Oh, I guess the mentor really is the one that is the bridge between the parts in the center, though, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's sometimes difficult to sort that out. It's like people will want to know, now, what is the difference between egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate? And it's a fine line that we're exploring all the time. So what is the difference between center and the mentor? And that's another one of those fine lines that we're exploring.
Sure, sure. It almost feels like the mentor, it's someone like I feel in relationship with, and center is just like, it's nothing. It's kind of just
right.
Like, it's kind
just
of,
pure, yeah. Just pure conscious awareness slash acceptance.
Yeah, yeah, like not even much form to it, just kind of, just, yeah. Okay.
All right, your work is cut out for you.
My work is kind of, thank you, and I'm really looking forward to seeing both of you this weekend and everybody else.
I heard that rumor. I'm excited, too.
Yes, yes.
Yep. All right.
Good.
Travel safe.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Tracy.
See you soon.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. Sherry, it's after 6 o'clock.
All right.
And we have two callers on hold, and I want to invite them to call back early next week, and we'll be glad to talk to them then.
Yes, absolutely. Don't give up on us.
Don't give up on us. a big thank you to everyone who makes this show possible, all of our listeners who show up every week from all around the world, the people with big courage who call in and share their process, and you, Sherry, and we're all here. We're all doing it.
And you, Michael, and let's keep having fun. And if anybody can, get to the bridge walk this Saturday. Tune in on Friday night. Talk to Teresa.
I'll be there.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.